Good morning, 7:39 here on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. You might have heard David Wayne mention this, but just to make sure everybody's informed, we are under a tornado watch until 1 p.m. There are pop-up showers. We've had at least three pretty intense, tiny little systems pop up, one in Pensacola, one in Milton, and one in Jay over the last half hour. So we are also under a, coastal flood advisory, is that right? Coastal flood advisory until 1 o'clock as well. High surf warnings until 7 p.m. tonight, and wind advisories, and like I said, the tornado watch. So just, you know, be careful, be careful. Joining us this morning, Mike Wood is out, but we have the chief, Eric Randall, chief of Pensacola Police. Chief, welcome back to the Pensacola Morning News, sir. It's been a minute.
Hey, yes, sir. Good morning. I hope everybody's doing all right out here as this storm passed through. Yes, sir.
How what effects are we seeing? I mean, you know, you kind of keep your ear on all of this stuff. Anything in the city that's particularly caught your attention as a result of the storm?
Nothing right now. You know, crews worked, my staff and, you know, all the public safety was out overnight as well as public works to try to, you know, address anything that come up. You know, we were coordinating with our, you know, our public works team, if we had any limbs, anything down. Right now, roads appear to be clear. I would pass on to the community to please be cautious, slow down. There is some ponding on the roadways in certain areas. So, but also, if you see, you know, a street that may be flooded, turn around, don't drown. And right now, I'm out here riding around, and we got scattered showers and peaks of the sun are starting to come out as well. So I think that's a good thing.
It is a good thing. By the way, limbs down is how I describe my body after I play tennis for the first time in 6 months. sorry, I couldn't resist. Hey, one of the things that's about to happen in the state of Florida, coming up in about 2.5 weeks, October 1st, the new homeless law goes into effect. That's the law that requires cities and counties to prohibit public camping on public lands. They allow us to have a temporary shelter for camping if we want to have that, but there's all kinds of rules about what has to be done. But the main thing is, you know, your law enforcement agency and the Escambia County Sheriff's Office and Gulf Breeze and Santa Rosa are all going to have to enforce the prohibition on public camping. And we've been talking about this coming for a long time, but October 1st is the day. Where's your agency at in preparing for this? What are you doing to prepare for what is going to be a change in the law in about 2.5 weeks?
Yeah, so we've been doing a lot. We've been having a lot of conversations working with our legal staff and working with the mayor's office and working with our homeless advocates in the community as well. As well as, you know, we have our community response specialists that fall up under the police department. You know, October 1st, the new House bill that goes into effect talks about now allowing, you know, municipalities or governments not knowingly allow people to camp in public and things of that nature on public property. So we've been working very diligently in the last couple of weeks. We've been communicating with our businesses, you know, all over the downtown area about the new law. Also, I think we've been trying to also work to dispel a lot of misconceptions, because a lot of people think that particular law is the actual criminal enforcement. That's more of a civil process that can be undertaken by businesses or citizens against the local government to actually have the local government remedy a situation. And that actual part of the point where you get to the point where you petitioning to have the local government remedy a particular situation actually doesn't go in effect and go active until January 1st. So we've been doing a lot of different things, as you saw, within the last year. Actually, it's coming up on a year next month, where we deployed and hired on two community response specialists to kind of, you know, get ahead of things and be very forward-leaning in dealing with our homeless and unhoused population and building those relationships with our community partners. We're working very diligently with the county now in collaboration based on what's going on Beggs Lane, things of that nature, building those relationships. And every day we're out and about talking to businesses, citizens, and our homeless population as well. So we'll be training the rest of our staff on a lot of different things related to different ordinances that are out there. But our community response specialists have been, you know, boots on the ground working with our homeless population, our community, and our advocates to be very, very proactive in this stance before October 1st.
So what's going to happen on October 2nd if I'm, you know, playing disc golf at Hitzman Optimus Park and I see a guy, you know, sleeping in a hammock? Or if, you know, somebody sees somebody on Palafox sleeping in a doorway, what will actually happen with your officers and with those people?
So, you know, we've had great experience with this over the last couple of years, and even more in the last year with bringing on our staff, our advanced staff. So we get calls like this, you know, regularly. And some of the things what we do is, depending on, you know, the nature of the call and the type of call it is, if someone's sleeping and things of that nature, what we try to do is we try to deploy our community response specialists out there, as well as if we have to have officers and things of that nature. And they make contact with the individual and work with the individual people on finding what the issues is their solutions. Are they homeless? Do they need somewhere to go? Are there services that need to be offered? And, you know, most of the time we utilize that, and that has been a very great success. The other part of that, too, is we get businesses, you know, someone sleeping in front of a business. A lot of times a business may come in and want to, you know, trespass, warn somebody. So we utilize law enforcement for that aspect of it. So there's a number of different tools, different strategies. Every situation is different. So we walk into every situation with an open mind and look at all the tools we have currently available to be able to remedy the situation as effective as possible.
Okay, and the big change in October 1st is that, you correct me if I'm wrong, but you can't just leave it as is. You're not allowed to leave it as is, basically. That's right, isn't it?
The
state law requires you to enforce the prohibition is the shift, right? That's what will be required now.
Right.
Okay. Good. And that's what I knew you guys were working on that, but I just wanted to clarify, because I think that's something that we'd been paying a lot of attention to this back when the legislature was talking about it in the month or two afterwards, and then hadn't been talking about this much. And you're the first person I've had a chance to ask the question about on the air. So I appreciate that. One of the things that is, you know, over the last like 5 or 6 years, really post Ferguson particularly, but certainly post George Floyd and COVID, staffing, recruitment, retention, you know, we're just into the major decisions about budgets have kind of been made, but we're ratifying budgets now. How is staffing at PPD? What levels are you at? Are you needing pay increases? How are you doing?
So that is a very great question. At a wonderful time in the year. We're working just recently to solidify a new contract for the officers. So starting salary is going to be bumped up significantly to make us very, very competitive in the region, if not in the state as well. Right now we have about 7 vacancies, but we have those all slotted out to be filled within the next few months. Recruiting and retention is very, very, very critical in public safety and particularly law enforcement. And, you know, one of the things in the last, you know, over the last few years that we have changed at PPD is we went to a continuous recruitment model. Instead of hiring different cycles, we hire continuously throughout the year. There may be small periods of time where we may close what we call a requisition to clean up, you know, some of the applicants that we have in there. But for the most part, our continuous hiring stays open all year long.
Okay.
And it's a continuous process. And it has ebbs and flows. Yes, sir.
Yeah, so which makes sense to me is kind of always instead of only in these chunks, which means that you kind of get behind and then you get ahead and then you get behind, which instead of, you know, trying to do it all the time makes sense to me. Challenges for the football games. I know the county and Commissioner Lumen May has talked quite a bit about this. We've talked about this with Sheriff Chip Simmons. You know, ending night games, making some decisions about use of fields. It was apparently not that popular with everybody. What's been going on in the city? I don't feel like I have a good grasp of this. Or has this not been a problem at city football games?
Well, you know, that is always a concern, you know, safety at any event, any sporting event. And, you know, over the last few years, we've had some incidents that have happened. So some of the things that we've done in the city is, particularly this year, we've had a great conversation with our Parks and Rec that manages the fields and who's been in great, you know, communication with the different leagues. We've deployed police officers. We've deployed security guards. We've enhanced our patrols. And we're keeping a close eye on particularly what goes on in the community. And if there's something that has happened, a major incident that has happened, we're on the phones, we're collaborating, we're making sure we got the right resources that are deployed to, you know, any particular area of the city. But it's all about, you know, us all working together and making sure we information share and everybody being responsible. You know, I know sometimes we get very, very excited about our sports and teams and things of that nature. But let's not take it to a level where it's getting very, very violent out there. So, but those are some of the things we're doing. Then we work with our school district for the high school football games that we have from throughout the city. Particular rivals draw bigger crowds, so we have to be very, very cognizant of that. But we are communicating almost every day about weekly events when it comes to these sporting events to make sure we're getting the right information collected and we're passing that information along and making decisions at the time.
The mayor, in collaboration with, if I remember correctly, I think it was in collaboration with you, and I'm assuming he's involved you in the conversation, but the red light cameras, we have been waiting. How close are we? Do you have any sense?
Well, we're still working with the vendor. What's going on now is we're in the permitting process. The vendor's in the permitting process with the Department of Transportation. So until the permitting process gets completed and approved, then we'll be able to provide a more concrete timeline.
Okay.
That's where that stands right now in the permitting process. That's beyond our control right now. But,
okay.
But we're ready to move as soon as the permits get approved, and then they can do the construction and things that need to do at these different approaches there. The red light cameras will be installed at.
Okay, and I had known it was supposed to be, like a summer rollout, and then that didn't happen, and just kind of feels like it's always a couple of months away maybe, and I guess that's kind of where we are now too, which that's fine. I mean, you can't make that happen, obviously. Similar topic, speed enforcement, something that I know had been a passion of the past chief of police, Tommy Leiter, and I think you and I have talked about this a couple times. It's something that you consider pretty important too. What's being done to reduce speeding in the city of Pensacola, the number one threat to property and life by drivers?
Oh, yeah. We are all over the place. And I know some people see us on the bridge, the Bay Bridge, come across there, stopping speeders all day long. I mean, we're all over the place. That's probably one of the number one complaints we get each week is about speeding. Speeding here, speeding there. So our traffic unit is working very, very diligently to address speeding all throughout the city. We've done a number of different what we call blitz operations where we've focused on specific areas of the city, addressing speeding, driving under the influence, and things of that nature. A couple weekends ago, we did a DUI blitz where we addressed speeding and driving under influence as well. But I would just say, please obey the speed limit. And because you never know when PPD is out there going to stop you and give you a good welcome to the great court system for not driving the speed limit.
Another one of these kind of when is it going to happens. Do we yet have a due date for the new SWAT vehicle to replace the old plumber's van?
It's coming.
But it feels like it's been coming for like a year.
Andrew, I'll tell you, anything nowadays you build from scratch forever. You got supply chain stuff and things and other things coming to play. One of the things that came into play for us was Defense Production Act for some stuff that was going on, internationally, and that set our project back. But I'm hoping, I'm very positive with information that hopefully by next month, we should be able to see that thing on ground here in Pensacola. We should be having some people go out in the next few weeks to do a final inspection on that thing and then get it shipped here to Florida.
Well, so good. I mean, I certainly hope so. I hate to think of our SWAT guys being vulnerable. And finally, we can turn the plumber's van into just a straight-up surveillance vehicle, which would be fine with me. Last thing is the actually, I have two quick things. ShotSpotter, we've had this in place for a year. And I know you were a big advocate for this. Of course, the Escambia County Sheriff also, in conjunction with you guys, paying off for the city. Do you expect to continue? This is one that takes funding, right, that you're going to have to find funding for to continue it, right?
Yeah, this is one that we have to identify funding for to continue. I think it's a great value. Just looking at some of the data, we've been active for about close to 9 months now in the city. And we've had 102 activations that we responded to. Also, the interesting thing, too, is we have the ability to look outside of the coverage area and get, what we call unpublished things. There's been like almost 1,000 of those incidents that were unpublished. So But
sort of like the like you definitely have information on the interior of the map, but then around the perimeter, you also get data from that too.
We get data. We can go in and get data from that too, which is very, very crucial, and it's been beneficial on a number of investigations. When we go back and look at trying to timestamp, you know, when we're doing an investigation when something happens or a particular location, we can go back and look at that. And just yesterday, we had an activation, one gunshot that led to the arrest of multiple individuals, seizure of several stolen guns, and some narcotics. So I think that is a win-win for the community right there. So,
okay. All right. Well, very good. Eric Randall, he is the chief of police now for a couple of years. It's been a little while since we had you on, but I really appreciate the opportunity to talk to you today. Thanks for all you do to, you know, lead our force, keep our men and women in blue happy, keep them paid well, and keep the rest of us safe. I super appreciate it, sir. We'll talk to you again soon.
All right. Well, thank you, Andrew. Thank you for what you do, too. And community, please be safe, slow down, and be careful out there. And watch out for public safety. Thank you.